Thank you for that. That was beautiful and so fitting for such a time as this. Thank you for joining us today. And if you're joining us from Facebook, welcome as well to Rio Grande. I don't think we have 250 people here, so we're doing good. This week, we are in week four. We're supposed to be in week four of Deuteronomy, going over the Ten Commandments. But because of world events and panic and fear and people scurrying from here to there, I think it's appropriate to have a detour, to speak directly to what we're facing and what the Word of God gives us as believers. Amen? Because fear and panic isn't what we're supposed to behold and to portray to those around us. You know, I as you saw in the newsletter, I went to the grocery store on Thursday, I think it was. Right, Terry? I think it was Thursday. And we're walking through the grocery store to get ice cream. You read the newsletter, if you read it, right? Oh, yeah, you saw me there. You were there, too, yeah, with all those people. And I turn, and I see the aisle with the toilet paper. My kids are like, why is all the toilet paper gone? I'm like, I have no idea. I have no idea. I really don't have any idea why. Continued over, we bought a lot of ice cream that day. We didn't buy any toilet paper because they were all out, but we bought a lot of ice cream. You know, here's the thing. You turn on the news and depending on what, well, all the news, and it's pandemonium at its best, and it's driving us to go fill our shopping carts and to become overly fearful of what's going on. I don't know about you, you could Google check this. I did this morning. People in Italy are still going to the grocery store. We need to just, you know, have a little reality check here this morning with where we're at with that. While we laugh and while we you know, smile, we also have to realize that this is serious. This is something that we need to take seriously. We need to be cautious. But I think there's a big difference between being cautious and being fearful and panicked. Right now, what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to open your Bibles, your pew Bibles, to page 930, or your Bibles if you have them, to page 930 in the pew Bible, to Psalms chapter 91. Psalms chapter 91. And we're going to read through this Psalms together this morning, because I think this is one of the most comforting Psalms that we have at our fingertips for such a time as this. And here's what it says. I'm not going to have you stand because it's 16 verses long. Here's what it says. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High, are you dwelling in the shelter of the Most High this morning? Will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I, what? Trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly, what? Pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find, what? Refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrows that fly by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plagues that destroy at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent, for He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. We serve a mighty God. We serve a mighty God. And this morning I'm going to be speaking and preaching a little bit about having faith and not fear. And maybe it's the coronavirus for some, that you're panicked and fearful. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's your own relationship with God that you have questions and concern and fear about. So this morning I don't want to just address what's going on in the world. I want to open the gauntlet and say, what kind of fears do you have in your life? What kind of things intimidate you or scare you or make you think twice? Because those are the things that God wants to say, hang on a second, let me give you some more faith so we can eliminate that fear. This morning, I want to show you a short 6-minute clip from the president of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, Elder Ted Wilson. And I think what he has to say is heartfelt, and it meant a lot to me this week as I watched it. And I want to share that with you before I get into this just shorter message today. So let's watch that. Abby, if you could put that up, please.
Coronavirus. This is the topic of most conversations recently. It's affecting the world. It's affecting world economies. I know Jill and I were traveling recently, and it's being talked about in airports. We were traveling on a bus. It's being talked about there in different parts of the world. It's definitely making lots of people afraid, wondering what's going to happen to them, to their loved ones. And right now, we have Elder Ted Wilson with us. He's the president of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists. Elder Wilson, thank you so much for taking the time. I know you have a very busy schedule, but I know you've heard this talked about. It's being talked about in churches, in conferences, unions, divisions, at the GC. What should we as Seventh-day Adventists, how should we be approaching the coronavirus situation?
Well, first of all, Greg, it is a serious situation. It is an illness. It is something which people need to be prudent about, careful. Obviously, simple public health practices need to be observed. You need to be careful about, keeping your hands washed, not putting your hands to your face.
Yes.
This is one of the ways in which it is transmitted easily, touching your eyes or your mouth, your nose, this kind of thing. But you also need to perhaps stay a little distance from especially people who may be coughing a lot or that
True.
Kind of thing. So use good judgment and follow good health practices that are being advocated by those who are informed about these things. But far beyond that, Seventh-day Adventists ought to be anchors of stability. They ought to be pillars of hope. You know, when people are panicking and they're rushing to the store and buying this and they're not sure what's going to happen and they're going to stockpile things, yes, okay, be prudent about making sure that you have what you need. But there needs to be a calmness, an understanding that my connection with the Lord transcends the immediate confusion and chaos that I'm seeing around. And these are concepts that have to be grounded in your own personal relationship with the Lord.
Very true.
Through Bible study, through prayer, through an understanding that God has a plan for his people. He's not going to abandon them. Matthew 28 says he'll be with us to the end of time.
Amen.
We are promised 3 times in Revelation chapter 22 that, behold, I come quickly.
That's right.
So the Lord is coming. He's not going to leave us destitute. So don't allow some of these crises that you may go through, whether it's the coronavirus or a tornado or earthquake or eruption of a volcano or wildfires or whatever it is you're facing, don't allow that to destabilize your trust in the Lord and to then be a witness.
Oh,
Seventh-day Adventists ought to be a witness to people of stability and of hope, of encouragement. we find these, there are many beautiful texts, but I mean, one is in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, that thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. So we have to keep our focus on the Lord, and he is the one who will bring us the kind of stability and peace, because he trusteth in thee. When you trust in the Lord, you're going to have a calmness about your demeanor, and you're not going to be totally frazzled by whatever you're facing. That way you can be a real witness. You can be a help in real need. Where people are having difficulties, you can step in and help. In the New Testament, now that was from the Old Testament, Seventh-day Adventists believe in the Old and New Testament.
Amen.
It's all one beautiful Bible.
That's right.
66 books, all inspired by God. In 2 Timothy, in the first chapter, it says here, and Paul is saying, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. And in the coronavirus situation now, people's hearts are failing them for fear.
Yeah, they're afraid.
The stock market is in flux. The economic situations. What about supplies, you know, that are coming, the supply chain? But you know what? Don't allow those things to rattle you, because you've got to have a grounded conviction that God is in charge ultimately, that we're in this great controversy, but the great controversy is going to end beautifully with Christ as the victor. And it says God's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He's given us heavenly power. He's given us heavenly love, and he's given us a sound mind that is in connection with heaven. So this is a beautiful understanding that God can work through us in a crisis situation to truly be a witness and a stability for others, using this opportunity to tell people there is a great hope in God. And even in a very practical way, let me help you as Jesus did, physically, mentally, socially, and spiritually. What a wonderful opportunity Seventh-day Adventists have in times of crisis to be anchors of stability and pillars of hope.
Yeah, well said, Elder Wilson. I appreciate that very much, because we need to be a light on a hill, right?
Not
running all over the place in a panic trying to figure out what to do, because we have the instructions in the Word of God.
Absolutely.
We know who's won. Christ has won. He has this all in control. And like you were saying, let's be prudent. Let's be careful. Wash our hands, practice good hygiene, be very careful if people are sick and that sort of thing. But I believe that God wants us to be a witness. Thank you for mentioning the stability. Because if people are afraid, and many people are afraid, they're looking for stability in something. So we have the opportunity, Seventh-day Adventist Christians, to say you can find the stability in Christ and in his word.
And let me thank 3ABN for providing that biblical stability.
Praise the Lord.
And for prayer, for the emphasis on God's word, on prophetic understanding, on Christ himself as not only our Savior and coming King, but as the solid foundation. And thank you for what 3ABN is doing to try and help bring that stability to people's lives.
Praise the Lord. And we're praying for you as the head of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, as the General Conference President. We're praying for you. God has you there for such a time as this. We're praying for you and all the responsibilities that you have. But thank you for taking the time here to talk today.
Some wise words there. Words of comfort for me, and I hope for you. Let's bow our heads. Father God, we trust you today. Lord, we realize that many people are suffering, many people are scared, many people are panicked. And Lord, I pray that your spirit and your angels would do a mighty work today and the days ahead in bringing those people healing and hope and peace. Father, you are a God of love and a God of peace and a God of comfort. And I praise you this morning for that. And Lord, as we go through this short sermonette, if you will, I pray that, Lord, you just move our hearts into deeper faith. Instill upon us a conviction that we are We are supported by you. We're in your arms. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Fear is a natural emotion, and this week, as I said, I changed my sermon about Thursday, so made some shifts, and I did some research on fear, and I actually went to Oscar's house and visited him, and one of the things that I didn't bring up that I was going to bring it up now is I did he's a doctor, psychiatrist, is this idea of fear. And man, when you get into that fear and you open it up psychologically, did I say that right? Yeah. It's deep. It gets kind of crazy. So I'm not going to go there today because I'm not a doctor and I don't want to try to explain that. But I want to talk about it at the basic level that we all deal with it on with. And it's not inherently sinful or godly, necessarily. Our fears are often connected to things we love the most. We may fear losing something or someone we love, or we might fear that we will fail to obtain something that we desire. Perhaps we feel a reverential fear of something or someone we admire. The cause of our fears is often the love or admiration of something created or of God himself. Still, other fears may not be related to anything you can clearly identify. They may be a biological due to sickness, induced by medication, or in some cases, even related to mental illness. Like all emotions, fear signals something beyond itself. And that's why you should listen carefully to your fears. What exactly do you fear? What would make you stop fearing? Your fears will often tell you something about yourself, and they often tell you about what you love. Fear, left unchecked, can spread like a virus. I got another quote from an author this week, and it says, "Fear is like the monster under my kid's bed. Its power is fueled not by what's really there, but what might be, what we imagine could be. Fear is a hollow darkness in the future that reaches back through time to rob our joy now by belittling the sovereign goodness of God." Don't be what? Afraid. The world is so afraid right now. But what do we have to fear? I'm seeing Nylea, look at that. She's shaking her head. I don't know. Amen. Al-te-rah. Al-te-rah. That's the Hebrew for do not be afraid. You know, the first time in the Bible that was mentioned was in Genesis 15. You know who said that? God himself said that to Abraham. He was Abram at the time. Al-te-rah. He showed up in a vision to Abram and said, "Do not be afraid. I am your shield and I am your fortress." That same blessing, that same promise that he gave to Abraham, we can claim. God says to us, "Don't be afraid, Arroyo Grande. I am your shield and I am your fortress." Remember that as you go from here to there, as you look on your smart devices or your TV. Remember that God is there. How about this? You know, Jesus in John 17. Jesus in John 17, we get an insight to this priestly prayer that Jesus prayed. And his heart went out to the believers and to us as believers even today. And Jesus said, "Those who believe in me may know that you love them even as you love me." even as. Not like four levels down from Jesus, but Jesus asks the Father to love the believers even as the Father has loved Jesus. Think about that for a minute. Jesus prayed for you that God would love you just as much as he loved his son Jesus. Wow. I mean, when you really think about that, when you really think about that, and you know that you're loved, you see perfect love cast out fear. And who has perfect love? God. And who does God want to display his perfect love to? You and I. And when we realize that, it does cast out fear. It pushes it away. Remain in his love. What about this? Trust his faithfulness. Trust his faithfulness. You know, God is faithful. Amen. Us, we're not so faithful. We can try, but we're not. But I praise God that he is. In fact, in 2 Thessalonians 3:3, it says, "But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one." It's about his faithfulness. He's 100%, not 99, 100% faithful. And he wants to be your shield and your rock. You know, when you realize how much God loves you and how faithful he is, I believe that that can cast out the fear in our lives. So I think if we're fearful, whatever situation it is, whether it's a virus or whether it's a marriage or whether it's a job or whether it's a relationship of some kind, when we focus in on how much God loves us and how faithful he is to us, the Word of God says that can expel fear. No amens. Amen. Thank you. That's good news, right? It tells us as believers that our focus needs to be on Jesus and not on ourself. You know, Psalms 91, I know I'm touching my face. Don't worry, I won't touch you, okay? Psalms 91, I just want to read a verse here in a second. Psalms 91, 1. If you have it, you can go to it. Remember, it's a season and this too shall pass. You guys remember the swine flu? H1N1, I think it was called, right, Elmer, yeah? April 2009, ended up, I think the total was 12,456 people in the United States ended up dying from that disease. But how many of you remember a whole lot about that? No, because it passed. Right. So remember, when there's a panic over a situation, remember that this too shall pass. We need to remember that. But more importantly, as we talk about that, you see on the screen here, I have the Hebrew. And why do I have the Hebrew? I'm gonna attempt to say some Hebrew to you this morning. But I want to bring out something here in Psalms 91:1, and that is. That is that it says here, it says, Yoshev, that's he that sits. Shev is sit, okay? Beseter is in the secret place, okay? El-Eon is the most high. Besel is under the shadow, okay? And Shaddai is the Almighty. And the next one there is Lo-Yid-Lo-Nan, which is actually, Nan is actually spend the night. So if you think about that, night is a season that passes, amen? If you spend the night under the wings of the Almighty, know it's going to pass. Whatever season you're going through, it's going to pass. But the point I want to make is that where are you sitting? Under his wings or under CNN? Come on now, right? Or Fox News, I don't know, whichever way you want to go, or BBC. No, no. God wants us to be under him and know that it's going to pass and he's going to be with us. Here's another one. It's my prayer that we're led by the Spirit and not motivated by fear. I loved what Pastor Ted Wilson said. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but a spirit and a power of power and love and self-discipline. That's what he's given us. Heavenly power, heavenly love, heavenly self-discipline. Not of fear and timidity. And here's the thing. If you're sitting here this morning, and or maybe you're online, and you're fearful, know that God has the ability to unlock and get rid of and throw away that fear. But you need to allow him to come in and indwell in you. If we're not listening to the Spirit of God, I wrote this down, we're listening to the spirit of fear. Think about that. The minute you panic, the minute you become fearful, hang on. You go, hang on a second. Hang on. I got to turn this off, and I got to turn on God's Spirit. I need to hear what he has to say, how he's leading in this moment right now. Not what could happen in 6 months or next week, but right now. How is God leading in my life? You have to ask yourself. This is probably my favorite one here. Keep your focus on Jesus. The world is talking so much about Corona, 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 Corona. Okay, I'll stop. What about Jesus? Where is Jesus in this? Right? 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word. Just to rest upon the promise, just to know, thus says the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. We need more of that. We need more of that. Trust in Jesus. Hebrews 12:2 says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Morning, noon, and night. Even when you wake up at 2 in the morning, fix your eyes on Jesus. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, if you claim that, believe that, guess what? God lives in them. That's what 1 John 4:15 says. I think it's important to remember to not be afraid, to remain in his love, to trust his faithfulness, to remember it's a season and it too shall pass, and to remember to be led by the Spirit and not motivated by fear. And let's remember to keep our focus on Jesus. Amen. I want to invite the praise team up here this morning. And I also want to invite my elders that I spoke to earlier. If I spoke with you, if you could come up. Elders and a few leaders. We have Chris and Jamie's coming up as well. If I spoke with you as an elder and gave you a sheet, come on up this morning. So I've got Jamie, Greg, Rhonda, Chris, Greg. And the reason I'm calling everyone up here is that I think it's important that we dedicate some time this morning, just a little bit, to pray for our world, to pray for our global church, to pray for our schools, to pray for our church right here.
Amen.
For our spirituality to pray for, and for our physical needs. For God to anoint us as his people, to protect us, to bless us. And so I've asked some leaders to come up this morning, and Jamie's going to start. And then Chris, and then Greg, and then Rhonda, and then myself will close. And we want to pray over you. We want to pray over everybody this morning. Because I believe, and I hope you do too, that God is able. So let's bow our heads.
Dear Almighty, Heavenly Father, friend, Creator, Savior, thank you for being who you are and watching over us, the world, your creation. I lift up all of your creation that is in the world today, those with fear, those with peace, those who are ill, those who are not. Be with us all. Give us a sense of your peace and help us to have the faith and trust in you, to know what we know to be true and to trust it to be so. I pray for our church and our outreach to the world in our community, that we may be an example of and shining out your hope to where they are hopeless. May we remain calm under your wings. I thank you, dear Lord, for being who you are. In your name.
Jesus, thank you for being so good to us. Thank you that we're able to meet here today, to worship together. And yes, there's some fear. Yes, there's a lot of things that can run through our minds. But like Pastor Josh was talking about, we need to just put our trust in you. Specifically, Lord, I want to ask that you continue to be with me and with Jamie, leaders of the schools here, the board members, parents, because we have a responsibility to our children, to our families. I ask, Lord, for your wisdom. Help us to represent you to the fullest, as full as we can, Lord. In all of this, we love our families, we love our children, and but we also know that you are with us every day. I ask today that it's no different. You promise that you never leave us. You're here with us right now. Some of us feel like we need you more than ever today. But I know, just like in my life, Lord, you've never left me. You always gave me your mercy and your strength and your peace. And no matter what happens, Lord, my assurance is in you. I love you, Lord. Please continue to be with us in the name of Jesus.
Father, I want to lift up the world church to you today in a special way. We don't know what the other countries are going through, the other believers, the other Adventists in other countries, what's going on. But we know, as we've heard from both Pastor Josh and by Elder Wilson, that you are in charge. We need to have faith, not fear. I pray for the Holy Spirit to be poured out upon our whole congregation throughout the whole world, that you will give everyone in this world peace, that they will not fear, that they will rely on you and look towards you. You are the great healer. You are in charge. And you are going to take care of this in the best way that you know how, and that we have to trust your will completely. Amen.
Father God, today we profess that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We trust you. We believe in you. Father, I give you our physical needs today, and I ask, Lord, that you cover all of us here in our church and in our community, our county, and our state, and across the nation and across the world, Lord. We know that you are the great healer and that you can provide what we need. You have each one of us in your heart and in your mind, and you know every molecule in our bodies. Lord, I just pray that you will also remind us just to remember what your natural laws are, Lord, and just take care of ourselves well, and then keep ourselves strong so that those of us who can will be able to help others. Father, we just want to give all of this to you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. And Father God, as we wrap up this prayer, Lord, I'm so thankful for everyone that came out today and everyone that's listening via the internet today. Father, it's great to have great technology like that. And Lord, I want to pray a special prayer that you would anoint each and every one of us here, Father, with your Spirit, so that we would be drawn closer to you, Father. Convict us, Lord, of what we are to do, May we hear your Spirit guiding us on which way to turn, as the children's story was spoken of. And Lord, we want to have a deeper faith. We realize that we fall so short, but we recognize that Jesus did not. And so, Father, we ask that you'd cover us with the blood of Jesus today, that you would give us your righteousness, and, Lord, inspire us as we go out this week to be people of faith, pillars of faith, Lord, as Elder Ted Wilson said, so that when people talk with us, they recognize that something's different, and that is we've been with you. Lord, we thank you so much for being able to trust you. And we love you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. If everybody could stand up as we sing this closing song.
Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall, but you have never failed me yet. I know you won't, Lord, waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won. For you have never failed me yet. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. Your word will come to pass. My heart will sing your praise again. Oh, yes, it will, Lord. Jesus, you're still enough. Keep me within your love. My heart will sing your praise again. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in my confidence, you never fail. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence, you never fail.
Faithful.
Yes, he will. is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail me.
Thank you all for coming and worshiping with us again this morning. I just want to let you know that we do have a potluck over there. And I'm going to ask that you please wash your hands before you come over. But God is faithful, isn't he?
Amen.
And we can have confidence this morning in a mighty God.
Amen.
Who loves us with a pure love and a faithfulness that never ends. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the blessing of the Sabbath, Lord, that we could come together, that we could worship together in truth and in spirit. And Lord, as we walk out of these doors, Father, we want to remember that you're by our side the entire week. Father, help us to talk more about Jesus than all those other things, to lift him up in the home and in the heart. And Lord, give us more of your faith, Lord, so that we have less fear. And I pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. You guys have a great Sabbath.